real issues. We're in Luke chapter 24. This is the last of Luke, at least for this series, all right? Next week, I'm going to do a little bit of Acts chapter 1 today, and next week we'll finish Acts chapter 1, and then Pastor Peter will be back, and he will be preaching in Acts chapter 2. That was the understanding when he left, so I'm just passing that on. We'll see how it goes, but that is our plan. So in Luke 24, we are in the last few verses. It says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. I'm starting with a few questions for you. I want you to think very carefully of your answer. How do we view the Scriptures? You don't have to answer, just think about it. How do we view the Scriptures? Now that you got your answer, second question. Are the Scriptures inspired by God and therefore true? Number three, do we live as though the Scriptures are true and can be trusted in life situations? Now it gets personal. Number four, don't count. Are the Scriptures determining how we live and make decisions? That's your last question. What we're going to be looking at is the disciples' view of these events. We've already referred to it before. I'm going to give a little overview of last Sunday's message just to set the tone. And it was the fact that they were seeing Messiah in the Scriptures, but they were not interpreting the Scriptures properly. So we may be reading the Scriptures and thinking about the Scriptures, but maybe we are not interpreting them properly. You see, the one thing that they missed was what we had in verse 44. God set the course for Messiah. They saw Messiah coming to deliver them from Rome, but God set the course for Messiah, and there was no varying of that course. It was set. God spelled it out that Messiah in the law and the prophets and the Psalms would one day suffer and die. They did not pay attention to that part, at least in their understanding of what Jesus came to do, to deliver them from Roman oppression. So God set the course. Secondly, God gave the core the comprehension. He gave open their understanding. And folks, if we ever get away from that, we have lost out big time. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that no natural man understands the things of the Word of God because they are spiritually discerned. So you and I, the understanding that we have of Scriptures comes from the Spirit of God, just exactly like the disciples. God opened their understanding, whether it was on the road to Emmaus or whether it was in this very setting, and He gave them understanding of His Word. That's the only way we get it. And then, thirdly, God gave the clarification. Jesus walked them through very carefully that He came as Messiah, but He had to die. He had to suffer. He had to rise from the dead the third day to conquer sin and death. And His resurrection would confirm that His payment was sufficient. It was complete. Nothing could be added. They didn't see that. Before that, they didn't see that as the deliverance that they needed. Even Rome needed the same deliverance through a Savior. And then God, in that same passage, clarified for them the mandate of the church to be witnesses of Him throughout the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem, but throughout the whole world. What a mandate! What a great responsibility! But that was their responsibility. And then lastly, in verse 49, God gave the confirmation. And He said, remember about the promise of the Father, the Comforter? I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait until the promise of the Father has come. We love to wait, don't we? Yesterday we took some family to the little ice cream shop. Not a good place to go. Not if you want to be careful. And we're just rehearsing of a man who was in a lineup there, grumpy and growly. Once he got the ice cream, he'd be okay. It'd sweeten him up a little bit, but we don't like to wait. We have instant everything now. You can even program your washing machine with your telephone. We don't have to be there to go down and wait and set the settings. And we're such an anxious society. They saw Messiah in the Scriptures, but they misread what it said. But in this passage, if you look at Acts chapter 1, I want to just review a little bit of it because Luke wrote Acts as well, and he covers some of the same things that he refers to in the end of Luke 24. So I just want to look at a little bit of it in the first few verses. They were seeing Messiah now risen. First, there was questions about whether He rose from the dead. Now they know He's alive, and Luke just refers to the fact that he refers to a number of things about the resurrection. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Did you notice how long Jesus taught? Until the day He was taken up. Folks, you've heard me say this before, and you'll probably hear me say it again if I get a chance. You're not done serving God until He takes you home. It's not over till you get home. There is always things to do in serving the Lord. Jesus kept teaching until He was taken up. And then it says, and after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles. I don't think I ever saw that before. He, through the Holy Spirit, He was submissive to the Father. He came to do the Father's will. And He was not independent of the Spirit of God. And this morning while I was praying, if I had one prayer request on my heart, it was this: God, don't ever let me preach or teach independent of the Spirit of God, because nothing will happen. So essential that we wait on the Spirit of God to minister to us, and that He be our teacher and our guide into truth, and help us to make those decisions based on the Word of God. I trust that we depend on the Spirit of God. Tomorrow begins VBS. I hope that every worker will be dependent on the leadership of the Spirit of God in their lives, and that they will be a witness and a testimony by all that He enables them to be and do as they serve the Lord in this important week of VBS. Jesus kept serving and teaching until he was taken up. And he kept teaching the disciples. There was more to learn. They were not finished learning just because he was taken from them. There was more for them to learn. Have you come to the place in your life where you don't need to read the Word of God daily? You don't have to answer, please. Have you come to a place in your life where to miss reading the Word of God a day or two or a week or two is really not a big deal? I fear for you. I fear for your relationship with the Lord. We need to continually be in the Scriptures. We need to be studying the Word of God, learning of Him. He goes on in verse 3 and says, he presented himself alive after his suffering for 40 days. And it uses the word infallible proofs. And the word infallible means unmistakable, convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidence. I don't know how many days it takes to convince you of something, but they had lots of convincing time. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, still teaching, still explaining, still trying to give them understanding and bring them to the place where when they go out to make disciples, they have a handle on what they're about. And their assignment is gigantic. Their assignment is to begin at Jerusalem as witnesses and to spread it throughout the whole world. And that has not changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about how Jesus appeared to Simon Peter, how he appeared to the 12 and over 500 brethren at one time, and James, and then the apostles, and last of all, Paul. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. They were beginning to see the Messiah. And then if you look in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were almost on track with Jesus, but they were still focused on when they would get delivered. How long does it take to get the truth across? They were seeing Jesus as Messiah, who would deliver them from Rome. Still, Lord, will you do it now? Will you restore the kingdom? He's talking about the kingdom of God. They're thinking of the kingdom of Israel. Is it now the time? And he says, it's not any of your business. He didn't use those words. It is not for you to know times or seasons. Sometimes we can get distracted being so focused on what's going to happen that we're not involved in what's happening. We can get so taken up with how it's going to come together. Will there be a rapture? No, there won't be a rapture. Will there be this? Will there be that? And we can spend hours and days and years studying. And there's nothing wrong with studying future things. But if that's our focus only, we're probably not plugged into what's happening here and now and being the witness that we're mandated to be. I remember someone preaching and they just said, keep the main thing the main thing. It's so easy to get distracted. May God keep us focused on what He assigned us to do. Be witnesses throughout the world, wherever we are. In fact, I think who we are in Christ is more important than what's going to happen at the end. Because who we are in Christ is what sets us for the end. And it says, you don't need to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. The Sovereign One. I like how the Amplified says it. Which the Father has appointed, fixed, reserved by His own choice and authority and personal power. Kind of gives you the idea that He is in charge. And He put it in place, and it will happen according to how He put it together. And in the meantime, we are to be witnesses of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, they were seeing the Messiah ascend. I can't imagine what it must have been like. They've been through a lot of things. Every time they got their hopes up, something seemed to happen. Their hopes were high when Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king. And then they were smashed. He died. Then they got their hopes up when He had rose from the dead. Now He's being taken away from them. But He led them out to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, where Lazarus was raised up. Various things took place. It was near the Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed before His death. Place that they had been there many times with Him. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them, which I'm told is a common gesture when blessing. Maybe it even symbolic that all the blessings do come from above, from our God. But He blessed them. It says in verse 51 of Luke 24, now it came to pass while He blessed them. While He's blessing them, while He's talking to them, giving words of promise, words of encouragement and strength and direction, whatever all He was saying to them, and their hopes are high. And as He blesses them, it says that He was parted from them. In His physical body. Not like a spirit that would be there and gone instantly. But they watched Him. They watched Him go up and then was received into a cloud. What an amazing thing. I've watched some sleight of hand, and I have a grandson who loves to do sleight of hand tricks, but none of it would match watching someone begin to go and knowing that He already rose from the dead and that He's not a spirit. He's a physical being. He ate meat or fish. He is someone they could touch. They could see the scars. They knew He was real, not just a spirit. And while He blessed them, He was taken up from them. It was gradual. And while they looked steadfastly, probably glued toward heaven as He went, two men in white apparel come to explain to them. And as you can read, it says, they said to Him, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. He will be back. He will be back. And carried up into heaven. He was carried into heaven. MacArthur calls it a staggering, stunning miracle. He also goes on to say his bodily ascension shows that heaven is a place that accommodates humans in their glorified, resurrected bodies. It is also a preview of the bodily resurrection of believers. End of quote. Jesus prayed in John 17:5, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory which I had with you before the world was made. His prayer being answered. Wayne Grudem says, Jesus received glory, honor, and authority that had never been his before as one who was both God and man. Acts 2:33, Peter said, Jesus being exalted at the right hand of God. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. To sit can indicate the completion of his work, which was redemption. Nothing more was to be done. Right hand was often a hand of strength and authority or rule. He is sovereign. He is head of the church. 1 Peter 3:22, angels, authorities, powers were made subject to him. Philippians 2 and verse 8, God has highly exalted him. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Hebrews 1:4, he has obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then, what did they do? Finally, they got it. And they worshiped him, it says. What else would you do? What else would you do when you realize that this one who died in your place, that this one has ascended, is our advocate before a holy God, that this one who walked with them now was in heaven, glorified, magnified. What would you do but worship him? And they did what they were told. They went to Jerusalem. And there they waited. They went to Jerusalem, just like he said. But they went with great joy. How could they not obey him? How could they not obey him? He was their Redeemer. He was their Savior. He was the one who took their place on the cross. He was that one. How could they possibly not obey him? You remember what Jesus said? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. You see, folks, you can believe in God and miss believing in Jesus. You can believe in God and be lost. But it's faith in Jesus Christ that brings forgiveness of sin through repentance. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that I'm going to come so that where I am, there you can be also. And Luke ends his writing in Luke with one word. Amen. So be it. Is that true of you? Can you honestly and clearly know that you are ready to meet Him when He comes? So important to know that we will be with Him. I trust that's true of you. If you have any question about it, don't hesitate to ask someone who can help you. Ask me. I have lots of time. Even when people are going by, if you need to talk, then we'll talk. Go in my office so nobody can bother us. But whatever you do, make sure you know that you are ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Because He will come, and when He comes, it will be over. There's no second chance. And we also know there's no plan B for reaching the world but us. May God enable us to be faithful to Him who is faithful to us. Let me pray. Father in heaven, how marvelous are Your ways. How glorious to know that You have set the days and the times, the seasons, all those things You have already put in place. And our God, You know us. You know our good things and our not so good things. You know our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We really don't even know it. Our God, we are so grateful that in Your grace and Your mercy and love, You touch lives and You change lives. When we repent of our sin and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and You make us a new creation. The old things pass away, and all things become new. Lord God, may this week be a week of growing in the new and letting go of the old. May this week be growth in becoming more like the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Our God, thank You. Thank You for the day that we met the Master. May we continually meet with Him daily through Your Word. Strengthen us for this day and for the days ahead. And Lord God, we give You praise, and I do pray if there's someone who needs to talk to someone about their relationship with You, give them the courage to obey You. And Lord God, we will give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.